Hi, I'm Steve Sheath, president of First Affirmative Financial Network and producer of the SRI in the Rockies Conference, which is the premier annual gathering of the sustainable and responsible investment industry in North America. Today we have the pleasure of speaking with Mindy Luber, who will be a keynote speaker at the 20th annual SRI in the Rockies Conference on October 25th, 2009. Mindy is president of Ceres, the leading U.S. coalition of investors and environmental leaders working to improve corporate, environmental, social, and governance practices. She also directs the Investor Network on Climate Risk, which is an alliance of investors representing some $7 trillion that coordinates U.S. investor actions around the financial risks and opportunities posed by climate change. Mindy, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
So let's start by acknowledging the fact that Ceres celebrated its 20th anniversary earlier this year, just like SRI in the Rockies will do in October. And your work with Ceres and with the Investor Network on Climate Change has been incredibly important to the cause of sustainable and responsible investing. I'd like to know right up front, Mindy, what is your definition of the term sustainability?
Well, I always start with the hard question, huh? It should be the easiest. Let me see if I can answer that for you, Steve. Sustainability, what it is not, and for years people look at sustainability as somehow environmental issues that aren't real business or investor issues. We would argue that sustainability issues are financial risks, they're not off-balance sheet risks, and they need to be integrated into capital markets. So sustainability issues, whether it's climate change or water or the devastation of land or lands, the point we make is that those things have a cost. And you got to put a financial value on carbon pollution, on water shortages, and integrate that into capital markets. When I think about sustainability, I think about building a sustainable future, building a future where we have enough water, we have enough resources, we have enough ability to grow enough food to feed a 6 billion person population that's going to 9 billion, that we could sustain the existence of life on this planet. And because of the way we have valued natural resources and other things and not put real financial costs on them, although certainly the Social Investment Forum has and Ceres has, we're spending them at a rate that's not sustainable. We will not be able to feed 9 billion people on this earth. We will not have enough water. We'll not have enough natural resources until we change the way we look at things. And that's what both of our organizations have been about. And I think the fact that we're both 20 years old now also tells me our time has come. It maybe had been a visionary thought 20 years ago when we both talked about putting value on water, on diversity in the workplace, on climate change. But no one in the business or financial community beyond the narrow social investment leaders necessarily agreed with that. 20 years later, we're seeing more resonance. More people understand that there is a cost to carbon pollution, and to deal with climate change, we have to deal with it in an economic way, and that there's a cost to water shortages. So we're all about building a sustainable economy, one that could sustain us and provide what we need, and we've got to change the way we do business to get there, and that's the beauty of what you're doing, Steve, and what you've been doing for 20 years.
Well, it's the beauty of what, you know, this growing recognition of these direct links between good business and environmental responsibility are really becoming obvious, I think, even to those who have been somewhat blinded, you know, to this for a long time. And it sounds to me like you would agree with the statement that the issues of climate change and sustainability are fundamentally economic issues.
They are economic issues, and it is time that people heed not only what we've been saying, because there's a lot of smarter people than me out there, but for 20 years and in the early days, we always felt like you and I and many others, we were sort of talking to the wall. Now I think the wall is hearing, as are business leaders and financial leaders, that these issues are fundamental economic issues, and they're risks that we can no longer afford to ignore. Many know that the subprime meltdown that literally sent the economies of the world into a tailspin over the last year, and we've all lived it, and we've all seen it and been part of it. It was a risk that we knew about. We knew that we were building an economy based on mortgages that were being given to people who could ill afford them based on mortgage-backed securities that didn't make a lot of sense. We knew there was a risk, and we chose to ignore it. And ignoring it sent us into an international economic tailspin. Well, economists out there are telling us that ignoring the potentials from climate change and the implications that it brings, and ignoring the potential water shortages in the hot spots around the world, could have a far greater and more devastating impact on our economy than the subprime meltdown did. We have got to get to a point, and we're slowly getting there with your leadership and others, where these issues are valued on the balance sheet. They're real economic indicators. They're built into what companies file in their mandatory reporting to the SEC. They're built into strategic planning of the largest companies in the world. And we're putting real value on carbon pollution. Right now, the cost of carbon pollution is zero. When something's zero, you get more of it. We want less of it. And you get that by putting a penalty or a price on carbon pollution or on the use of water in appropriate ways. We need to put honest accounting systems in place. We need to have the right regulatory framework where the risks of sustainability issues are publicly put out by companies and investors have that information. And then we'll start seeing changes in the way we build our leaders within the capital markets, in how companies use natural resources, in how they start conserving and producing less pollution. But it's got to be driven not only by government regulation or by activism, but by real smart business sense, because it makes good business sense to put a price that's honest on pollution and on other environmental problems that are moving us towards a non-sustainable future rather than towards a sustainable future.
On the climate change front, Mindy, UN series have both been very active supporters of the Waxman-Markey bill. What's your response to those who believe, who argue that the Waxman-Markey bill, if passed, should not be, you know, is not an economically favorable thing for the United States?
Well, I would argue quite the contrary, and we're working with dozens of large businesses and dozens of several trillion dollars worth of investors who are making that case, as well as large asset managers like Citigroup, like Bank of America, like Goldman Sachs. This is no longer an environmental issue. Right now, climate change and the potential implications of hundreds of Katrinas, of more intense storms due to the change in weather patterns, will cost society tens and hundreds of billions of dollars. Somehow ignoring that and thinking the problem is going to go away is what we would expect of our three-year-old children, not of grown people. There is a cost to ignoring climate change, and that cost is devastating. It's massive. It's economy-wide, and we need to address that by putting a limit on carbon and putting a price on carbon, because there's a very real, legitimate price to carbon pollution. Is putting the right market signals in place. They're saying when something costs something, put a price on it. And if something is devastating to our economy and our environment, put a limit on it. The Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act, people claimed would be devastating to the economy, bring Western civilization down, and I would argue they're two of the most important pieces of legislation in the last 30 years, and that they didn't have a detrimental impact on business. What they did was they brought air pollution down, and water effluents down, saving us hundreds of millions and billions of dollars in the kind of devastation that air pollution was causing and water pollution was causing. And businesses sprung up with new technology to meet the standards of the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. That's what's going to happen with climate legislation. It is dishonest to suggest that climate pollution costs zero. It has a cost, and we ought to put a price on it. And it is devastating to the environment and the economy, and we ought to put a limit on how much we're going to allow our companies to keep producing.
We very much look forward to seeing you in Tucson, and I want to thank you again for spending some time with us here today. You've been listening to Mindy Luber, president of Ceres, the leading U.S. coalition of investors and environmental leaders working to improve corporate environmental, social, and governance practices, and also the head of the Investor Network on Climate Change, representing about $7 trillion in investor capital. So again, Mindy, thank you so much for your time today, and I very much look forward to seeing you in Tucson on the 25th.
Great. Thank you.